We're turning in the Word of God this evening to 1 Timothy in chapter 4. 1 Timothy in chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 1 down to the end of this chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is a saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. We are coming to think just for a little while this evening at verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We have here Paul's instruction to Timothy, a young man relative to Paul, and he was set up and he was ordained as a minister of the gospel. And we find that this was a man that had been trained in the word of God. He had been a companion of Paul on some of his missionary trips. He was a man that had from his youth been instructed in the word of God by his mother and also by his grandmother. And we read in chapter 16 and verse 1, then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. And we see how Timothy and Paul have this very strong bond one with another. And so we find that this letter is written to Timothy as that minister of a church. We find in this first epistle, he would then write a subsequent letter in the second letter to Timothy. But it starts, as with many of Paul's epistles, with a salutation, personal words of practicalities. And we see who it is directed to in verse 2 of chapter 1. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy and peace, from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. We see here the true worship of God. We have the role of men and women. We have this subject of modesty and of dress. We have the relationship that we ought to have to state and how we ought to pray for those in authority. We find that in chapter 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so it's a very practical epistle. Many of the things that perhaps Timothy may encounter as pastor of the church, Paul is here giving him a little bit of insight as to what he might expect and how to deal with such things. We have in the third chapter the role of church officers, elders and deacons, and the qualifications that were required. But we also have identification of things like apostasy and how unchecked it can have such a devastating effect upon the local church. And then finally, we find that Paul is giving Timothy other practical directions in specific circumstances. So as we come to verse 16, we find that Paul is here summarizing very much what he has said already in this fourth chapter. And he says this: "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." We find here an exhortation to heed. This is a great encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy, that he is to take heed unto himself and unto the doctrine. Those two great things. And so himself and the doctrine. Well, why himself? Well, as a minister of God, he would be involved in preaching, counseling, instructing, rebuking, encouraging, disciplining the people of God. He would have to keep a mark and a check upon his own life. And Paul was one that very much knew his own heart as to what he was like. We could think about the words in Romans chapter 7. "O wretched man that I am." He was a man that looked within. He was a man that was used to dealing with his own soul. And for Timothy, he gives him this exhortation that he is first and foremost to take heed to himself. When we think about the enemy that we have, when we think about the deception of our hearts, when we think about the influence of the world, how necessary it is that we keep a guard upon our own hearts. It is so easy for us to fall into temptation, to be wounded by the devil, and to be influenced by the world. And the devil will come with a variety of tactics. To the unbeliever, he may say that they're good enough, that all is well with their soul. For the believer, he may come with other things, accusations and all kinds of slander. He may suggest that Christ isn't strong enough to save, or powerful enough to save, or that our sins are too great to be saved. And he will come with a variety depending upon the person that he finds. But what we find here in 1 Timothy 4 verse 16 is for Timothy to look within, examine himself, take heed unto thyself. We know from Matthew 7 verse 21 that it's not just enough to say that we are Christians, but it is demonstrated in the fruit that we exhibit. We have considered something of that already in the last few weeks as we've gone through the Word of God. There it is very clear that we are saved by grace, but that grace is evidenced in the way in which we serve the Lord and how we live our lives. But Paul is encouraging self-examination. And this is not just applicable to Timothy or to a minister or to somebody who holds office in the church, but these things are examples, these things are exhortations that each one of us must take seriously. As believers, we must guard against complacency in the soul. We must guard against self-righteousness, ensuring that our testimony is pure. Listen to the words found in Acts chapter 24 and verse 16. "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offence toward God and toward men." And so Paul there, he is showing how he has strived throughout his ministry to make sure that his witness, his example, has been consistent and it has been blameless. We are encouraged in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11 not to allow Satan to gain an advantage over us. but rather to strive for sanctification, holiness, godlikeness, conforming to the image of Christ, and to see ourselves as being vulnerable against all kinds of attacks and schemes of Satan. And so as we examine our hearts, it's not just enough to look within and to give an evaluation and then to move on, but to look within and then to have it dealt with. And so mortifying of sin, keeping short accounts with God, and having that close relationship to him throughout our lives. So this first exhortation, take heed unto thyself. And as we think about ourselves, whether in our families, whether in our employment, whether in the church, in whatever type of life we are talking about, the first great criteria that we have here is take heed to thyself. It's very easy to look outside. It's very easy to look at somebody else. We can see the mote in somebody else's eye, but not see the very beam that is in our own eye. Take heed unto thyself. But we find that this is not all that Timothy is encouraged to do. This is not the only exhortation that he has. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. These twin exhortations, they go together. They cannot be seen separate. If we are to take heed to the doctrine, it will have an effect upon how we are taking heed to our own hearts. Doctrine is a word that is not liked today. It is a term which many people think as being hard. It is restrictive. It is all about right and wrong. It is for the theologian and not for the ordinary Christian in the pew. But this is not what Paul is talking about. This is the same theme that we have in Jude about contending for the faith once delivered. This is our faith. This is the very things that we hold dear. These are the things that our faith is grounded and rooted upon, the doctrine. Those things which are most surely believed among us. Now, if you take time to look on some of the websites of churches, just Google and search, you will find all kinds of things taking place. If you walk into town this evening on big notice board, you will see their messy church advertised. Well, perhaps they need a cleaner. It's defies belief. This is the kind of things that are taking place. The doctrines of salvation, the doctrine of Christ, the glory of God has been lost whilst there is scribbling and praying and all kinds of mess and fun, so-called, in the name of Christianity. This isn't doctrine. These aren't the things that are going to help us as we live our lives. These are the things that will cause confusion and will cause the name of our Saviour to be mocked and to be ridiculed. But the doctrine, the Word of God, in its fullness, not just our favourite passages, not just our favourite texts, but the whole Word of God, that whole counsel of God. Timothy is also instructed to preach the Word, to be in season and out of season. Preach when people want to hear, preach when they don't want to hear. Preach the Word of God, not just the words that men want to hear. And doctrine is vital. It shows us how we stand. It is like that mirror. It is that mirror of the soul as we look into it. And so we find that very often people will want to hear various things that are not necessarily edifying and helpful to them. But as the preacher of God's Word, as his minister in verse 16, he is to hold fast to the doctrine. And so as we hear the Word of God, as it is preached, as it is read, as it is considered amongst us, we have the Word of God to judge, to evaluate, to determine whether what we are hearing, like the Bereans of old, that this is the Word of God. And that must be our standard. So Paul encourages Timothy, he exhorts him by saying this, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. We then find him saying in the middle part of this verse, continue in them. And so throughout the whole of his life, throughout the whole of his ministry, he is to have this singular determination. Look within and be grounded on the word of God. In other words, to keep on keeping on, to persevere, enduring, remaining, abiding, tarrying. It is a lifetime's work, keeping that eye on our hearts and our eye to the word of God. When we become Christians, it's not a one-stop fix, as if, well, that's ticked off, we can live our life, we've got that secure, and we can carry on as we wish. But no, it is rather a new life, and it is a new life of overcoming. Yes, victory is secured. Yes, the destination is without doubt. But the life of the believer is one of perseverance, of continuation. Christ has the victory. He grants victory to his people. But we know that the world in which we live is a world that is in the last days. But there is a day coming when Satan and all of his enemies and all of his allies were thrown into that lake of fire. And so while Satan is a defeated foe, he is yet still a very powerful foe. Remember, Christian and Pilgrim's Progress is taught, it's told to go up that way. There's lions on either side, but they're chained. Doesn't mean that their bite is any less if you get too close. It doesn't mean that the roar isn't loud, but they are chained. They can go so far. There's only that permitted distance that they can travel in. But as we think about our life, as we think about Paul encouraging Timothy to continue in them, we're reminded of the language we have in Ephesians 6 of the soldier, the Christian soldier, putting on the whole armour of God, standing firm, and to have before them that word of God, the sword of the Spirit, that shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And as we think about the world in which we live, as we think about the enemy that we face, it is not a walk in the park. It is a confrontation. If we get that picture, if we understand what is happening in Ephesians 6, those fiery darts, it is like a great hailstorm of assaults and attacks. And the Christian is under is in the target and the range of the devil. And we are to use the armour that we've been given. Use the shield of faith. Expose the breastplate of righteousness. Have that helmet of salvation. If we turn back, our backs aren't covered. If we don't have the shield of faith lifted high, then we will be prone to attack. If we are trying to lift up the shield of self-confidence, that will burn very quickly. But yet we find that the Lord has given to his people all that is required. And this is why we have in verse 16 to continue in them. Keep looking at your heart. Keep holding on to doctrine and to persevere unto the end. Do you realize that Satan loves lazy Christians? In many ways, he doesn't need to worry about such. Those that aren't concerned for the truth. Those that aren't willing to serve, those that aren't wanting to take the gospel out into the world. He's not really that bothered about such, because they're doing his work really for him. But those that are walking close to the Lord, those that are taking heed to themselves, those that are taking heed to this doctrine, they will find very quickly that the devil will find them as a target. When we think about the apostles in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, we have the apostle Peter there. And what was his testimony when he suffered? Did he think to himself, well, I perhaps need to change my tack. Perhaps I need to be less forthright. Perhaps I need to be not quite so vehement and strong and so passionate about the gospel that has saved my soul from the depths of hell. What do we find in verse 41 of chapter 5? They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They had been told to remain silent. They had been told not to utter the name of Christ again. And so Timothy is to carry on in these things, taking heed to himself and the doctrine. And then we find in the final part of this verse, we find Paul saying this: "For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now let's be clear, this is not salvation by works, but scripture is plain and very decisive over this matter, that man is born into a natural state of sin. He has an inability to save himself. He doesn't deserve salvation, but it's all according to the electing purposes of the free grace of God upon sinners. But what Paul is saying is, like we've said already, that if our profession is genuine, then there will be resultant fruit in our life. Matthew 7, verse 16, "By their fruits ye shall know them." And so for Timothy here, if he continues in them, then he will have proof to himself by the outworking of this. It will act as an assurance of his faith that he is the Lord's. And so as he continues in life in sanctification, being made more like the Lord, then he will have great comfort and he'll be striving for that crown of righteousness. When we think about ourselves, it is the same for us. We have to have that continual perseverance. And at the end, we shall be saved. If we continue in these things, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so Timothy is encouraged to prepare and to protect himself for the future. What a great future there is for the child of God, to be saved, to be redeemed, to be counted amongst the Lord's people, to reign with him. But then we find that it is for the salvation of them that hear thee. "For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now again, we have to be careful that we don't take that to be that if Timothy takes heed to himself, if Timothy takes heed to the doctrine, if he continues in them, that he will have a salvation effect upon others. That's not what's being said. But through his life, through his walk, through his ministry, through the preaching of the gospel, we find that it will be for the salvation of others. When we think about the words found in Romans chapter 10, that great chapter that deals with those that are sent out to preach the words, we find in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And so throughout Timothy's ministry, he would be one to preach the word. He would bring the word of God to those round about. And those that heard him were not going to be all Christians. Some would be saved and added to the church. We find at Pentecost that when Peter preached in that marketplace, that it was just him and a handful of people stood there. And then on that day, thousands were saved. The Lord had added unto the church great numbers. And so through the preaching of the word of God, souls are saved. You may think, well, I'm not a preacher. That's not what I've been called to. I don't have those gifts. I perhaps have gifts in different areas. Well, very much our whole lives are a living epistle unto God. We find that the apostles in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, after Peter makes that great statement about salvation being in none other than Christ, they read in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so their words were one thing, but their life and example was something that had a great effect and impact upon the people round about. Well, these words are certainly true for those in pastoral ministry, those that hold office in the church, but these things are vital and necessary and applicable to every church member, to every Christian. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. May we apply these things to our hearts and see that we are taking heed to ourselves, that we are grounded upon the doctrine of God and his word, that we are those that are continuing and striving in them. For if we do these things, it will be for the salvation of our souls and also to the people round about, may be influenced by the way we live our life and by the way we conduct and behave in situations. May the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen.